This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
Oh, you do?
The Mark Reardon Show.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I find myself hurting from giving too much.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
All right, let's get going here for a Monday. And I think it's a significant Monday because we only have a couple of these left before the election. And then it's going to take probably 4, 5, 6 Mondays for us to decide the election. But hey, it's almost here, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Sue?
I am well, thank you.
We missed you in the studio on Friday. I don't think you were here, were you?
No, I was not.
You had an issue at the home. But at least you had the home base to
did you
to
see what I did?
From.
Yeah.
I can't remember what happened. Did
this
you have
time
issues?
I thought, I am going to wash this window. I know I could do it. It's one of those tilt-in ones, mm-hmm. and it tilted in and went cattywampus and out of its track, and I couldn't put it back in, and I can't leave the house with a gaping. It was too heavy. No neighbors are home, and it was like that.
Wait a second. You live in the city of St. Louis, and you think you can't leave your home with just like a wide-open window? Why wouldn't you be able to do that, Sue? I don't get that.
Maybe, you know what? Actually, maybe I could have, but I
have
just felt a little
weird.
Yeah, you didn't want to.
No.
What was that, Ethan?
I said, do you not have any faith in your city?
Yeah, no kidding, right?
I do, but...
So Ethan is, you know, a relatively new producer. He's been with us for, I don't know, 6 weeks at this point because Abby left. But he's very good with the skills on the dry erase board in the studio. Yeah. And, you know, we now...
It's a gift.
We have a World Series matchup, and he put some logos up there for the Dodgers and for the Yankees. This is tough, Fred, because I do not like either of these teams. And, you know, it's the two big market teams that everybody hates. I suppose I will watch because I did watch over the weekend. I was rooting for the Tribe to kind of take down the Yankees after that exciting game the other night. And they tied it again. What was it, Saturday night? Or was it last night? I can't remember. But then they end up losing. So the World Series is set. Yeah, right. That was a pretty exciting series. Now, let me just touch quickly on the Mizzou front because I'm just the worst fan ever. And everyone would agree with this. So I had a pretty big project to do at the house. You know, Michael's Flooring is helping me with some. When I say helping me, they're installing hard flooring into two rooms. But I decided to do some of the work. It actually ended up being a little bit more of the work than I thought. So I was pulling out carpet and pad and the little staples and stuff like that. So this was around the time of the Mizzou game on Saturday because they kicked off at 11. It was homecoming. I decided not to go to the game because, you know, I had stuff to do at home. And quite honestly, I'm not really thrilled with the way that the Tigers have been playing. So they go down at one point. Ethan, you can help me out with this probably, or Fred, if you watch. 17-3, I think, was one of the scores, right? Mm-hmm. I turned the damn thing off. I turned the TV off. I didn't watch any football. I cranked the music. I was doing my carpet stuff, and I was getting some texts, and I just was in a crabby mood because I knew that they were going to suck because they pretty much sucked in every game that means anything up until this point. Don't be fooled by the 6-1, you know, record at this point.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans, coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But they actually won the game. Like, what happened? If my friend Jeff Drew is listening right now, King, you're texting me about this game the other night. Honest to God, I thought that Mizzou had lost, but they came back. Brady Cook gets injured, Sue. I don't know if you know this. So he's the Mizzou quarterback.
That's a big deal.
Was a great quarterback last year. Something's been a little off this year in my mind. I don't know exactly what it is, but he got hurt early and to the point where they took him to get an MRI, and then he came back from the hospital. He must have gone across the street to University Hospital because it's right there. He comes back in. He leads them to this victory. Now, Cusumano's going to talk about this because Frank had Brady on his show the other night. or last night. What am I talking about? I'm acting this Monday, right? It was last night.
So you hit the sideline and your conversation with Coach Drink goes like what?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about it. I was so juiced up. I'm trying to remember exactly what he said, but you know, he came up to me and said something to the nature of, you know, do you have any limitations? And I said, no limitations, let's go. And he looked back at me and said, let's go win this thing.
All right, so they got it done. And then this is kind of cool too. He heard from some folks, Brady Cook did, after the victory.
So Peyton writes what to you?
I guess I should identify, because the Peyton Manning. You ever, is it Peyton or is it Peyton? Because I'm confused by that.
So Peyton writes what to you, and then you write what to him back.
Yeah, you know, Peyton texted me last night and said, you know, what a gutsy performance. Great job. Keep it rolling. And I said, thanks. I appreciate you. Looking forward to next week. And, you know, just a little text like that definitely means a lot.
So next week is Alabama. That's a pretty big game this weekend in Tuscaloosa. The Crimson Tide's not that good either. The Tigers are, I think, about, what, 13-point underdogs at this point. But look, you know, their season can go one of two ways. The way it has been going, and then they get smoked by Alabama, or they turn things around and they get back into the discussion for the college football championship. By the way, congratulations to Illinois. They got another great victory. I have to pay attention to my friends with the ugly orange, you know, colors, because they're pretty good right now. And they're ranked ahead of Mizzou.
Did you see their jerseys that they wore this past week?
I did.
So it was, they were honoring 100 years at Memorial Stadium, and they had custom painted helmets, and what it was meant to be doing was honor the heritage and the jerseys and the uniforms back when Red Grange was playing. I mean, how long ago would that have been? I mean, a long time ago. Each helmet, 2 hours to hand paint. The entire team.
That's
hand
amazing.
Painted helmets. I mean, they're old fashioned. CBS did a great job with the broadcast. They kind of started it off. You remember when the Cardinals and Giants played at Rickwood Field and they did like the black and white?
Yeah.
They did something similar to that for
CBS. Oh, I missed that.
The reporter on the sideline wore a flapper dress. It was really cool, actually.
I did not know that.
They did a really good job with it. But real quick, back to Brady Cook. Did you see his quote about only having like two games left to play at Farrow Field?
No.
He said, I've only got 2.5 games left on Farrow Field.
Farrow is named after Don Farrow. That's okay.
I'm not missing this one in a hospital.
Yeah.
Comes back, and the MRI looked ugly. I actually saw two MRIs. One of them was of his foot, obviously. The other one was a picture of his rib cage. It was a bunch of dogs in him. You know, they said he's got that dog in him coming back.
I haven't seen the pictures. Well, so what, I don't know. We'll talk with Frank about all this, and we'll see where it's going to take us for Tuscaloosa. I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough, but we'll have that conversation at 4:45. Let's talk about retail politics for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. And what's happening nationally right now is actually really, really interesting, because you can just kind of feel the panic amongst the Democrats, especially in the states that they refer to as the blue wall. And I would point toward Wisconsin and Michigan. And one of the things that I've been talking about here on this radio station is African-American voters. And I've always said, I don't think that, you know, you're going to have a huge swell of people turn out for Donald Trump that are African-American, but it might not take a lot. And also, if people stay home, then it's the same thing. So every once in a while, I'm just going to tell you how it goes. Fred, I've told you this before. Sue, I'm driving around in my car. I do a lot, you know, in the car. I monitor Fox because I have Sirius XM. I swear to God, and this is one of my criticisms, every commercial break on Sirius XM for Fox, it's different than they air on TV, is for Trump and his gold sneakers. And it's driving me nuts, because all he's doing is hawking gold. And for those of you who do this and you listen, it's not comfortable. And it's, you know, to the point where you're like, really? Quit hawking the gold sneaker. I know it's a commercial. It's pre-recorded. But the reason I bring it up is because I'll flip back and forth. So I flipped on CNN today, a rare moment when I do that. This Harry Enten guy, he's kind of like their polling guy, right? Who's the guy that's on NBC who's
Steve,
got the map?
Kornacki?
Yeah, Kornacki's one of them, right? But then, you know, a lot of them like their maps and stuff like that. Oh, the other guy on CNN is John King.
Oh,
he likes to do it,
John
too.
John King. Yeah.
So Harry Enten is kind of their new polling guy, and he talks about the trends and things that are happening out there.
If you believe that Donald Trump has somehow become less popular over time, let me change your mind about that. In fact, he is more popular at this point in the campaign than he was at this point in the 2020 campaign or the 2016 campaign. Look, he's still underwater, right, with a negative 9-point net favorability rating, but that is higher than he was in 2020 at minus 12 points when he nearly won, and it is way higher than the minus 27 net favorability back in 2016 when he did win. So I think there's this real question in Kamala Harris's mind, in the campaign's mind, why is Trump more popular now than he was at this point in 2020 and 2016? And I think that is why you're seeing the sharpening attacks, because they want to put him back down to here.
Yeah, well, so what's happening is they can't put him back down to there. And the attacks are being sharpened because they know that they're falling back in their internals. Now, I'm not going to tell you this thing is over. I'm starting to think it's over, but you know, it's based on who's going to show up at the polls. Now, on the retail politics front, one of the things that I've said, and I'm going to tie this in with what happened at McDonald's, but African-American men do not like Kamala Harris. Listen to Harry Enten's numbers, and then we'll go to McDonald's with Trump here in a moment, too.
And sometimes there's a trend line that I never noticed before and make me go, whoa, this is one of them, all right? This is the Democratic margin among black men under the age of 45 in presidential elections. You go back to November of 2012, what do you see? You see Obama by 81.
So this is really illustrative, okay? 81 in 2012. Now listen to the trend line here for the Democrats.
Clinton only won him by 63. Then we're all the way down to Biden last time around by 53. A tremendous drop already. And then you take a look at the average of the most recent polls, and Kamala Harris is up by only 41 points. That is about half the margin that Obama won them by back in November of 2012.
Whoa! You know what that is? This is what the sound, if George were here, this is what we play, because that is a big, big L for Kamala Harris, and that's why they're panicked. So then you have, and I think one of the reasons is honest to God, and these voters, they know, they can tell the difference between real and fake. African-American men, Hispanic men, what are they, misogynistic? That's what the Democrats will try to tell you. They don't like her. They don't trust her, and they don't like her. So Trump goes to McDonald's in North Carolina, and he makes French fries.
Hello, everybody.
Sir.
My first day at McDonald's. I'm looking for a job.
Hello, President Trump. I'm Derek Giacomantoni. I'm the owner.
Oh, well, that's a good owner. Must be a wealthy guy, huh?
Now, look, these things are staged, right? You have a situation where, what's going on here? You guys look all very confused.
Hold on.
Did
that
I do something that's going wrong here?
Audio.
All of a sudden, I looked at the room, and the room looked very confused. These are political events, so there's a bit of vetting or staging. It's a photo op, right?
Well,
it's a camera op. But that doesn't mean that the people that you're going to hear here, they're not fake. They're real people. They want to make sure, and Harris and Biden, all politicians, you're not going to go to McDonald's and say, hey, let's just take random people through the drive-thru, because they may say, hey, I hate your guts. So you're going to have a managed event, certainly not as managed as Kamala's, but he makes the fries. He starts to interact.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Look at all the fake news over there. Hello, everybody.
You can fake this, right?
And you know, this is compliments of Trump, okay?
Yes, thank you. Mr. President, please don't let the United States become Brazil, my native Brazil.
Oh, we'll keep it good.
Please, please.
We're going to make it better than ever, okay?
Look at that.
How are you?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Nice to see you.
So it's not an accident that you have people with accents that are going through that drive-through line. He's trying to illustrate the support with Hispanics in particular and people who came to this country legally. So that was Nayora, who is from Brazil, and she talked to Fox after this.
I was contacted by the Trump event committee, and they asked if I was going to be willing to attend the event, and they would send me some more detailed information in the last minute, which happens just a few hours before. Said if you could meet us at this place, you park your car in this spot, and we'll meet you over there. Little did I know, you know, whole Secret Service was there, and local police, state police, Philadelphia police, lots of security. So we went through the security.
So she's just talking about the process and what happened. And then she kind of got to the point about Trump and why she feels like there's a connection there.
It was like meeting a friend. He looked us in the eye. The way he communicated with us, the way he greeted my children on the back seat, it was incredible. My kids were, I cannot just believe that I shook Donald Trump's hand. I'm not going to wash my hands for the next few days. So he just communicated with them. His looks and the way he shook our hands, like it was very genuine.
It was genuine.
See, that's
and
the
I
difference.
I don't care if it is the difference, Sue. And I don't care if it was managed or not. Of course, it's managed. It's a political campaign. It's a presidential campaign. You're going to manage these things. But here's the headlines. I love this, too. So if you go to, and you'll remember all the headlines that were very similar when Kamala does some of the stuff that she does, or when Tim Walz can't load a shotgun, right? Very similar headlines. The New York Times, French cuffs and French fries at Donald Trump's McDonald's gig. The Washington Post, Trump serves McDonald's fries to supporters in staged managed campaign stuff. What I love about the legacy media is, again, That's fair. You can, but
they never say it about her.
They never say it about her. Rolling Stone, Trump makes fries at McDonald's in bizarre attempt to troll Harris. Bizarre attempt. They're so disconnected at Rolling Stone and Mediaite and some of these. They keep trying to, well, and they do it because they know that the legacy media will pick up their headlines as well. Here's the Independent. Trump serves disturbing message through McDonald's drive-through window about whether he'll accept election result. They still want to go to that. So they can't stand the fact that he's connecting with voters right now. Here's a barbershop owner talking to him right now in the Bronx. Now, he ain't going to win the Bronx, right? Doesn't matter. This is symbolic.
Now, in the past almost 4 years now, I'm losing my business, basically. The money's just not there.
It's your business?
It's my business. I started it for the past 10 years, and the only time I knew I made it was when you were in office, so I could speak for myself.
Right.
And the thing is, it's like, I don't know what more to do. How can we make the economy come back?
How do you get to the bottom of
this? So here's what we're doing. Number one, it all began with the oil.
So that's, by the way, that's Lawrence Jones from Fox, the other voice that you hear in there with the barbershop guy.
Around with what I did with oil. We had the greatest. We were energy independent. You remember back 4 or 5 years ago, $1.87 for a gallon of gas. We actually had it lower than that for your car. $1.87.
So he goes on there about energy prices, but that's a real thing. You know,
yes,
it's not
it
only the way that you have to pay for your employees or your supplies, all the other overhead you might have, but the energy costs in particular. I addressed this even from a personal standpoint a couple of weeks ago. I started looking at my bills, and they have been outrageous this summer.
Well, he actually knows what he's talking about, and you, when you hear him, you think, okay, yeah, he's got a handle on it. Never does Kamala sound like she's got a handle on anything. Yeah.
Dave Strom was a guest last week from Hot Air. He's really, I love Dave's work on Hot Air because he's really a good writer, and he wrote about this class divide. You know, he's great about talking about this stuff. Senator Lamping's been great over the years. He dialed into this. John did in 2016. Batya, who was really, really good on the class stuff because, you know, Batya's not, Fred, you know this, she's not a conservative. She's
right.
Kind of a liberal, reform liberal, but she understands what's happening with Trump with the class warfare aspect of it, especially how the Democrats try to play those games. But he wrote about this, and David kind of nailed it. It's not really about race or party. It's about class right now. And you kind of see this in the polling of white educated voters, especially if you went to a fancy school, the cultural elite, they, you know, are going to vote for Kamala Harris no matter what. You got Liz Cheney out there. There's a good example of her, you know, campaigning. She's a former Republican. I don't care what you decide to do with your vote, but you're out there campaigning for someone with these policies. That's horrible. And it's embarrassing, but that's Liz Cheney. This is what you see is what you get, right? So you have that crowd that's always going to vote for Trump or for Harris because they hate Trump. They don't like what happened on January 6th. They think he's a white supremacist, blah, blah, blah. But then you have blacks and Hispanics, the working class people, the backbone of this country, trending in another direction. White, suburban, white-collar voters, educated, so-called educated, they're not for Trump, right? That's what, especially suburban women, and some of that's because of the abortion issue. But, you know, the situation with the class issue here is really quite stunning because you have an educated class that finds people like you who are listening right now despicable, deplorable. This goes back to Hillary Clinton. They don't think that you're worth anything. You're so crass because you support Donald Trump that you'd even consider voting for Donald Trump that they want to restrict your mobility. They want to restrict your energy consumption. Think about the control. A lot of this, and Martin Gurry, Fred's trying to get a hold of Martin. He's a guy that wrote this column last week that I loved, and I might get to it here this afternoon. You're talking about, you know, a situation where the elites look down upon us here in Missouri, in Arkansas, in Oklahoma, in the other flyover states, just because you think that America should be a country that has borders that are protected, that you think that we should have less money confiscated from your paycheck instead of having more money confiscated that, by the way, isn't even going to you as an American taxpayer. It's going to people who aren't even in this country legally. So everything is set up, in my mind, for a Trump victory in a couple of weeks. It really is. And I think that a lot of this is trending in a right direction, but you just don't know, right? And by the way, I don't think we're going to have a result on election night. My sense would be maybe a couple weeks after election night. I hope I'm wrong about that. Trump was highlighting a lot of the North Carolina voters today, too. They're standing in long lines. They may not even have a house, but they're voting. We're coming back with Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. Coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.